Please be seated. Good morning. We are gathered here together today to celebrate the life of Elsie Schlafman. Special lady to me, of course, my mother-in-law. We want to make this a time when we not only remember Elsie, but also worship the God that she loved and served. We thank you for coming, making an effort to be here. We're very grateful. We'd like to start with the hymn, God Will Take Care of You. And a special remembrance of this hymn is that it was sung, I believe, at Jake and Elsie's wedding. And so we want you to join us as we sing this together. Let's stand together, shall we?
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil when the heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care care of you. Heal every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Thank you. You may be seated. I'll call on Sharon this morning for some comments and the reading of the obituary.
The obituary is printed in your funeral folder. How do you put 102 years on one page? How do you put it on one page? Elsie was born March 10th, 1912, and she passed away on the morning of her 102nd birthday. She was born in Turtle Lake, North Dakota, to James W. and Elta Holmes Nelson. She attended rural school and graduated from Turtle Lake High School in 1931. Elsie continued her education at Valley City State and Minot State Teachers College. She taught in several rural and city schools in North Dakota for 16 years. Elsie married Jacob, or Jake as she preferred to call him, on June 15th, 1941, at the Turtle Lake Baptist Church. They farmed near Turtle Lake until retiring in 1976. They moved into Turtle Lake in 1982, where they enjoyed their retirement years. Elsie and Jake moved to the Waterford of Bismarck in February of 2000. She was a member of the Turtle Lake Baptist Church and served as a Sunday school teacher and in other church capacities. Elsie was also a member of the Turtle Lake Hospital Auxiliary and the Red Trail Homemakers for many years. She served as secretary for the local 69er Club for 11 years. And Dad did a lot of the work. Elsie and Jake lived a Christ-centered life together and enjoyed traveling the globe. They visited all 50 states, Canada, Mexico, Japan, Africa, Europe, the Bahamas, and the Holy Land. She is survived by one daughter and son-in-law, Sharon and Douglas of Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, one son and daughter-in-law, Jarvis and Marilyn Schlafman of Spokane, Washington, four grandchildren and eight great-grandchildren. She was preceded in death by her husband, Jake, two brothers, three sisters, and one great-grandchild, Eliana Rose. I'd also like to just to share a few personal comments about Mom. Number one, well, they're not in any order, I guess. She had the gift of helps. She loved to help people, and the family was also involved in that. She had a big garden, and when Jarvis and I would be weeding the garden, we said, do you have to have enough for the whole county? But she was happy to share what she had with others. She was never begrudging. If somebody needed something, she would share. Also, when we were, I remember as we were kids, we never went anywhere alone. There was always two or three widow ladies that had to be picked up before we went to church or other community activities. She liked to help. And as it said up on top, she was a teacher. She had a teacher's heart. Not only school teacher, but Sunday school teacher. And she was a teacher to us as well. And what I remember is that she taught us to be observant. We would go for walks along the country road, and she would identify each little wildflower. She would hear the birds singing and ask us, do you know what kind of bird that is? She loved nature, and she communicated that to us. And it wasn't just the little things. She'd take us out at night, and she'd identify the constellations. And I'm so thankful she taught that to me, to enjoy God's great creation. And one of the last things that she said to me when we asked, "How are you, Mom?" She says, "I can't complain." And that was, you know, so many, when you get older and have aches and pains, although Mother had no pain at the end, they list on and on and on the things that aren't right with the world anymore. But she never complained. And what a wonderful thing that we could enjoy being with her instead of dreading going and hearing all the problems. And it was not just at the end, but that was a lifestyle for her. I know that she probably, there were times when she was lonely. One point in time, she had four grandchildren, and that's all she ever had. We had two, and Jarvis had two. Our two were born in Japan. Jarvis's were born in Cameroon, Africa. She had to make a world tour to see her grandkids. And she knew that some of her friends had all of their kids within a 20-mile radius, but she didn't complain, and she never asked us to come home. We had friends that left the mission field because their mom said, "I'm so lonely, please come home," and she never did that. And we know that God gave her strength. God gave us strength to be far away sometimes. So, yeah, Mom was a special lady. And we're thankful for her life, and we're thankful that she celebrated part of her birthday in heaven with Jesus and Dad.
How can you sing after you get choked up like that? Anytime I would come to visit, or when we lived here on furloughs, Grandma always said, "Joyce, we sing in church. Joyce, we sing." So I know she'd want me to. So I have a song, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." It's just out of the hymnal, but I know it expresses how she feels. So,
"My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I loved Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love Thee because Thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. Jesus, 'tis now I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say, lies cold on my brow, if ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and so bright, I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Sharon and I were in Japan when Jake died, but I was told that during that funeral, a great DVD show was given. And we had to do that for Grandma, too, or Mother, or however you want to call Elsie. And Melody, Jarvis's daughter, has put together a fantastic program for us. Enjoy reviewing Elsie's life with us.
Many years ago, in days of childhood, I then winding down an old familiar pathway, I'd hear my mother call at set of sun, come home, it's supper time. The some of the fondest memories of my childhood were woven around supper time, when my mother used to call from the back steps of the old home place, come on home now, son, it's supper time. Oh, gee, but I'd love to hear that again. But you know, for me, time has woven the realization of a truth that's even more thrilling. And that's when the call comes from the portals of glory to come home where it's supper time. When all of God's children shall gather round the table with the Lord Himself at the greatest supper time of them all. Come home, it's supper time.
but it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine.
Probably shouldn't have done this after the pictures. Before I make my comments about my mom, I want to just thank you for coming, but I thank you for something much more, because a life, you know, we're celebrating mom's life, and a life is made up of the people that are part of it, and you are part of that group. You're part of the people that made my mom's life a rich life. She lived a long life, but a very rich life. And I want to say thank you to all of you for coming. And I want to share a few of my remembrances. You know, I was thinking, you know, I forgot my suit bag, and so I'm not dressed properly for a funeral, and my mother would be so proud. She came to Africa to see us, and they lost their luggage. She was there 6 weeks, and they got it on the fifth week. And in that whole time, she wore an African wrapper and never really cared. So there's things I want to share about you from a son's perspective of my mother. And my sisters and my first reaction is the same. And for some of you, it's the same. We'll always remember Mom as a teacher. You know, she taught in the country schoolhouse days, and I'm so glad that Arnold is here today. He was one of those students. I know some of you sat under her teaching in Sunday school, but we'll always remember her as a teacher. But I probably remember her a little differently as a teacher. For you younger ones, your mom is always teaching you, and you will learn to appreciate that. I'm not sure that I did at the time, but I want to read Deuteronomy 6:6-7 because it's my favorite verses concerning teaching. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You know, and my mom was constantly a teacher. And I got to tell you how some of the ways I saw that in my life. She would teach everywhere, just like it says in this verse, everywhere you go. And some of those places, we went on a lot of trips, as you read. My folks had a goal for us that by the time we finished high school, we would have seen every state in the United States. But here's how that worked. We got our homework assignments before we went, right? We got our homework assignment. You need to know these things before we go to these states. And so Mom would teach when we went on trips. And, you know, there's a wonderful place to teach your kids, and it's in a car. You can't get away. And so Mom was a teacher that would do that. And she would teach while we were doing almost everything. You know, I still remember when the movie Ben-Hur came out, and we didn't get to go to many movies. And the rule was you had to read the book first. So I read Ben-Hur to get to go to the movie, and it's still one of my favorite books. It's a great classic book. I also learned from that, you know, my mom wasn't content to just have you see that movie, but that Lew Wallace, who wrote Ben-Hur, was an atheist who decided he would prove atheism was true and Christianity was false. And by the time he had finished an honest study, he became a Christian and wrote that book from a Christian perspective. And so I really enjoyed that through my whole life. She would also teach us when we were working. Sharon mentioned weeding the garden. I think of times of cleaning chickens. You know, Mom and Dad bought 250 chickens every year, and they raised them, and we dressed them and sold them to people in town. And so we would pick 5 chickens each, and that counted Dad. He had to do that. We picked 5 chickens each. Sharon would cut them up, and we'd sell them. But during that time, we'd sit there with that awful job of picking chickens. She would be teaching us. And in so many different ways, I still remember sometime doing one of these Bible quiz things, and we were asked, who's in Mephibosheth? And I said, I know. And so I told, Mephibosheth is Jonathan's son, and David took him into the home after Saul was chasing him. And someone said, how in the world do you know that? Why would you know? Well, we had a lame chicken. It dragged its foot, and we named it Mephibosheth. And Mom reminded us of the story every time they went by. So we learned those things from her. We also, what I remember most about her teaching, though, was how she could read. And some of you who remember, my mom would have loved to have been able to sing. But she was a reader. She could read and bring feeling to anything. And I still remember, we did not, you know, some kids get read to when they're little. Mom read to us for years and years, and we never turned that down because she could read a book and just make it come alive. And I still think of some of those times that we would just read together as a family. I know she also did that as her special thing for this church. When there was a reading to be done, it usually was my mom. She didn't sing, but she really could read. And so I remember her as a teacher. But I also remember her for some other things. And one of the ones I want to talk about a little bit, and I won't take too much time, Doug, here. I'll try to. But is her sense of humor. You know, my mom had a tremendous sense of humor. And I'm going to speak to the Schlafmans now. Some of us Schlafman men maybe take life a little too serious, you know. And what we need is wives that make us laugh. And Joyce is my cousin, as you know, Joyce Cunningham. And the Nelson girls could laugh. And I'm telling you that if you came to our big country kitchen for a Thanksgiving, all it took, one word, right, guys? And laughter. We never knew what was even going on. They'd laugh for 15 minutes, one more word, and they'd laugh some more. So, but they could bring laughter to almost any time and any place. And I'll tell you it from my perspective the most, though. My mom and I used to get up and milk, and I hated it. And as a teenager, you know, she'd wake me up, and my mom, by the way, got up at 4 every morning while I still lived at home. I know she made up for it in these last years, sleeping a lot of hours. But she'd get up at 4 and do all this work before she went to teach school. And so, but what I remember is getting up so early, hated it, going out to milk, and I was so angry. And I was going to show her, as a good teenager, right, that I was angry. It's not right that she didn't know it. But before we finished milking, she'd make me laugh. And I'd get so mad that she could make me laugh when I was so mad. So she had a great sense of humor. And I'm so thankful for that. That has been something that stayed with me through my life. And it's something that she gave me. But she was also a lady, and I've read a couple times this week Proverbs 31, and you know where I'm going, and some of you, I've taught Proverbs twice in my home church in Spokane, and when you get to Proverbs 31, there was one very honest lady. I read through Proverbs 31 starting in verse 6, which is the virtuous woman, and this lady said, "Give me a break. You know, how can you do all those things?" And I'm not here to say Mom did all those things or was perfect. But I am saying I want to show you a couple that she was. And one of them that I think about is that Proverbs 31, 10 and 11, it starts this way. "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her." And that was the relationship that my mom and dad had. He could trust her because a lot of you know my dad is the one who really understood finances. He really did. He had a very good grasp of money. But let me tell you from the inside that it was my mom's ability to keep a budget that really was a strength of their marriage. And Mom would be able to make it go. Now, let me explain that. Mom's food budget was very simple. What we grew in the garden, what we raised ourselves, that's one thing. But what she could spend was the money she got from cream. That's why we milked those 3 cows. And the money she got from eggs and the money that she would get from selling chickens. That's what her food budget was. And she made that work throughout the time we were at home. And it was an amazing thing. And it just gave that fact that the family, you know, I know we didn't have much money in those days, but I'll tell you this, we felt rich. And I appreciated that. It also says in that same Proverbs 31, verse 15, "She rises also while it is yet night." And that was my mom. She claimed she got more work done before we all got up and started messing with her than she would any other time. So it's another one. Another one in verse 20, "She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy." Sharon's already shared about that, but one of the things that I learned from Mom was to be gracious to those around you who didn't have something. And she had great strength in that. And then it says lastly there, her children, in verse 28, "Her children arise up and call her blessed. And we're here today. I'm speaking for Sharon as well as myself. She was blessed.
Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come, we'll shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
This morning I'd like to read from the Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Gracious Father God in heaven, we pray that these words will be real to each and every one of us who is here this morning. We pray that you would bless your word. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. I really can't go without giving some of my memories of Elsie. I remember one thing that kind of surprised me. I think she, if I'm not mistaken, I think she used to do her crossword puzzles in ink. In ink. No eraser. She was a brilliant lady as far as her vocabulary was concerned. I remember Elsie as being a sharp game player. Some people would call it luck, I guess, but she was sharp. I considered myself fortunate if I ever won one game out of 10 playing with Elsie and Jake. And Sharon. Sharon is a great player, too. And as Jarvis mentioned, I remember Elsie having a great sense of humor. It was just always amazing to me how she could complete a thought or something like that, and it would just be perfect, and we'd have to kind of laugh together. One of the last things that Elsie asked me to do was to read Uncle Tom's Cabin. I'd never read it. I have never read it. I promised I would. I got 20 pages into it, and I haven't completed it yet, but I promise that I will do that. Elsie was, as Jarvis said, a great reader. And as we're here this morning, I think the most important thing that we want to remember is really what Elsie would want us to remember. What would Elsie want us to remember, those of us who are left here? Well, I believe if we are Christians, if we are those who believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, and that death was what provided us with forgiveness of sin, Elsie would want us to remember that we have hope for all eternity. Elsie would want us to remember what true faith is. Elsie would want us to remember that true faith, my friends, is more than just knowing about Jesus. And it's even more than affirming that Jesus died on the cross and was raised again to life. You see, you can believe those two things and still never be a Christian. Elsie would want us to know that ultimately, having a personal and deep relationship with Jesus Christ in faith and living a life obedient to Him gives us hope. As I look back on Elsie's life as long as I knew her, I asked myself the question, how did Elsie show her belief in and obedience to Jesus Christ in her life? And like any good pastor, I thought of three things. I believe, first of all, she showed her belief in and obedience to Jesus Christ by her respect of and faithfulness to Jake, her husband. I'm sure they had spats or maybe even fights. I don't know. I can't imagine Jake, though, raising his voice too high. But they were married faithfully for 63 years. That's a challenge to all of us. Just by that number, I believe that Elsie showed her love of Jesus Christ. I believe that Elsie showed her belief in and faithfulness to Jesus Christ by her love of her church and her faithfulness in serving Jesus in her church. Both Jarvis and Sharon have mentioned how she was a great teacher. We have received sympathy cards from various people, and several of them have said, "I sat under Elsie as a Sunday school teacher." And that's what they remembered her about, her faithful teaching of the Bible in their lives. And then I believe that Elsie showed her belief in and faithfulness to Jesus Christ by how she raised her children. She raised them to know and to commit their lives to Jesus Christ. And my friends, I am a beneficiary of that faithfulness. I will be forever grateful. She would want us to know that, yes, there is a blessed hope for all who follow Jesus Christ. And I believe, my friends, that when she passed into eternity, Jesus was there. And I believe He said, "Well done. You have been my faithful servant. Enter into your eternal reward." And I believe, my friends, that Elsie would want each and every one of us to know Jesus as our Savior and Lord, so that when we go, we may hear those same words. Let us pray together. Father God in heaven, thank You for the life of Elsie Schlafman. Thank You that she loved You. She loved her family. She loved her church. And she was faithful to You. May she continue to be a challenge to each one of us here, to find You, to know You in a personal way, so that we might spend eternity with Elsie also. We thank you for leading many of us to you. And we look forward to that day with great hope. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me and sing together the hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Blessed assurance, this is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. And this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Thank you. You may be seated. Immediately following, we will be going out to the cemetery. If you wish to join us, you may. Otherwise, please remain here. There will be a lunch served after we get back. Or maybe it can be served while we're gone, if you do not feel led to go out to the cemetery. Let me just say a word of grace for our meal as we enjoy that. Father God in heaven, we thank you for just a wonderful time together. And we thank you for your grace and your presence with us today. Thank you again for each of these dear people who have come to celebrate with us. We do pray that you'll bless the refreshments that are going to be served. May we receive those things with thanksgiving. We thank you again that you will continue to bless this day and that you will continue to honor and glorify yourself always. We praise you in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.